We are not to be removed from this world or these circumstances. Jesus said, I have overcome this world, which means that with him we can overcome this world. And that's the challenge. How do we overcome the world? How do we have peace in all circumstances? And that is what Jesus wants for us. If you're reading in John's Gospel, kind of to most of the end of it is what Jesus is saying to the disciples just as he's leaving. And in John 14 and in verse 27, well, he starts John 14 with, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not tell you. And then again he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you really knew me, you would know the Father. And you know, it's like he's kind of, look, I'm just going to say everything I need to say to these disciples. And it must have been slightly disheartening when some of them were still asking questions, and he's sort of saying, have you not quite got it yet? But in John 14 and verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Actually, the New Living Translation, I think, really hits it and nails it. It says, I'm leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. Because actually what we're dealing with there is the mind, which is the anxiety and the thoughts spinning around, and the heart, and the which is the emotions, which is those feelings of fear. And those two things are quite different, and you need both. You need both things covered. And he's saying, that's the gift I've left. And this wasn't just for his disciples, that was for us. In Ephesians 2, it says, for Jesus, for he himself is our peace. So essentially, Jesus is saying at this point, I'm going to the cross, but when I go and when I leave, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, but also I'm going to presence myself in you as a gift so that you can experience what I've experienced and what you've seen me experience throughout the time on earth. The Amplified Version says, let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage for every challenge. That's good as well. I mean, you don't need very many more scriptures than this one, you know. Give you perfect peace. Calm you in every circumstance. The problem is, my circumstances and yours, you're going to react differently to me. When I got up this morning, I got into the shower, and there was a spider about that size crawling up the shower. Now, I don't have a problem with spiders, and I was concerned that he was going to fall into the shower with me. So we just coexisted. And then he disappeared, and I mentioned to Tanya that he might be in her towel, because that has happened in the past. So you see, there's no point sort of saying, praying for some fear of spiders, because I don't have a fear of spiders, quite obviously. Now, some of you may not have had that reaction. So each one of us needs something completely different. If you've had a bad experience, if you've had a traumatic experience, and in kind of modern parlances, you are triggered by things, and you react because of that, you know, that's going to be uniquely different to each one of you. And the problem with sort of trying to gloss over it all is that only God knows the absolute what you need every single time. And he's interested to that minute level of detail. He wants to bring you peace in every circumstance. He wants to give you courage for every challenge. And the key, which will always be the key, is connection with God. You know, Jesus said, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you've known him, and if you've seen him, he then goes, you know, all the way through that, he's talking about the Father. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And so what he's saying to the disciples is, I need to be in you to make this work. It's not a mental exercise. I need to be living in connection with you. And so everything the enemy is trying to do is to get you disconnected from that connection, because that's the only thing that's going to work. So one of the main things which we do to ourselves is beat ourselves up about sin. And that is why I love It Is Well With My Soul. Because it says, my sin, comma, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. In brackets, if you've got someone leading, they will then sing a refrain. Every bit, all of it. It's kind of, how can I tell you this? More importantly than this, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. The problem is, we don't think we're worthy of it. We don't think we deserve it. We think we've got to try our, we've got to do our bit, haven't we? I've said this before, but you know, there are times when you give someone a lift somewhere and they get to about 50 yards away from their house and say, I can walk from here. They want to do their little bit. They think, I've driven you 50 miles. I'm not going to drop you off 50 feet from your house. So you can kind of say, well, you didn't give me a complete lift home. Sort of helpful, but, you know, that's what we're doing. We're sort of saying, well, we'll do our little bit and we'll try and keep ourselves free of sin. No, you won't keep yourself free of sin. And Jesus knew that, and so he did the whole lot and said, there is nothing that can separate you from God, because not because of you, but because of him. Because you are now the righteousness of Christ because of what he did. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, is the response. Now, this hymn itself was moderated, was changed. Because the first verse says, it should say, when peace like a river, I'm trying to remember the things. Yeah. Well, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. Now that's the word they've changed. The original says, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know. Because it's not about saying, it's well with my soul, it's well with my soul, it's well with my soul. It's about knowing that it's well with my soul. It's not about me telling you how forgiven you are. It's about you knowing how forgiven you are. And I go to prayer meeting after prayer meeting after prayer meeting where people start with this theology of how bad they are and how grateful they are about God. I'm going, move on, people. This is done. This is finished. This is a finished work. It's finished. There is now nothing that can separate us from the love of God. I'm not saying we shouldn't listen to God as he tells us that some of our behavior is not useful or healthy or good for us or good for others. But to constantly brick it up as a barrier between God will not enable you to live in this peace that he wants to give you, because you constantly think you're separated. Oh, now you're connected, now you're separated, now you're connected. I haven't got my faulty lead on this morning, but if I had it, I could pull it in and out and my voice would click in and out. And some of our Christian life feels like that we're dropping in out of connection with God. This is from the, if you looked up this scripture, and once I was looking at varying versions, and when you go to, let me go to the Greek first, because I, you know, troubled. So, troubled minds. Something that's set in motion that shouldn't be set in motion. Agitated back and forth. Caused perplexity to be stirred up. When we're talking about a troubled mind, And if any of you are suffering, and I don't belittle it, because I know what it's like to suffer from a racing mind, and that's not necessarily my thing, but the anxiety, and then the leading to a, you know, panic attacks and feeling like you're going to die because of that situation. I understand that reality, and that's because your mind has stirred up. Again, I won't do it, but if I put this microphone towards that there, you will get what is called a feedback loop, because it's going round and round and round, and the little noise will get louder and louder, and then you'll all cover your ears, and that's what's happening. You've created your own feedback loop in your brain that will not rest, and you started an agitation that you can't stop, and you won't be able to think your way out of it. You can only say, Jesus, Jesus, I need your help. I need the peace that passes understanding. I need you to guard my heart and mind. I need you to grab a hold of me and just breathe calm into my troubled mind, into this circumstance. And then when it says fear, fearful, timid, living in dread, paralyzed, paralyzing fear of the consequences of what might happen. And that's a horrible position to be in as well. I mean, fear... yeah, actual real fear is such a horrible sensation to have. And I remember staying at someone's, on a couple of occasions, I've experienced it to its full degree in some ways. I was staying in someone's house, we were visiting, and there was a spirit of fear in that house. And let me tell you, yeah, it was dark and horrible, and you could not sleep, and you were cold, and it sucked every bit of life out of that, out of you and out of that place. Now, we prayed. we got back to sleep, but if you've experienced it, I'm not belittling it, but it says, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your mind be agitated. Do not let. So there's got to be something that we can do that will make a difference and will get us to be able to say, you know, to equip us. Because Jesus isn't saying, oh, here's something, you won't know how to figure it out. You know, it's like handing a kid a mobile phone which is unlocked, which isn't unlocked. You know, oh well, it's useless. They're not going to be able to use it, or they're not going to be able to play with it, or they're not going to be able to do anything. Jesus wasn't doing that. He was never doing that. He was only giving us things that were going to be good for us. This is what the one of the commentators said. It, again, must have been written a long time ago, as the language will say. The deepest secret of Christ's peace was his unbroken consciousness of unbroken communion with the Father, in which his will submitted and the whole being of the man hung. Actually, I was going to Google what this word is, because I don't even know it. In filial dependence upon God, and the center and foundation of all peace-giving power of Jesus Christ is this, that in his death, by his one offering for sin forever, he has swept away the occasions of antagonism, and so made peace between the twain, the Father in the heavens and the child, rebellious and prodigal here below. Little as these disciples dreamed of it, the death impending, which was already beginning to cast its shadow over their souls, was the condition of securing to them and to us the true beginnings of all real peace, the rectifying of our antagonistic relationship to God, and the bringing him and us into perfect concord. Jesus didn't need He demonstrated it. The Father is in me and I'm in the Father. If you see me, you've seen the Father. What I'm doing is because the Father is in me. The words of the Father I'm speaking. That was what Jesus did. He emptied himself completely of his God nature. He put that bit of Jesus in the heavenly realms. And he walked on earth being filled rather with the essence of his Father. With God, because he demonstrated what we're supposed to do, which is to empty ourselves, not that we've got anything to empty ourselves, but understand that we've got nothing, and say, God, fill us, Jesus, fill us, Prince of Peace, fill us, so that we can live in this gift. In certain churches, at certain times, in certain services, you will say the peace. You know, and it usually goes, may the peace of the Lord always be with you. And then you respond, and also with you. Now, it can become very kind of just... And actually, funnily, when I read through the particular Catholic version, it was like, that was the practice of it. So how to do it? Don't do this, don't do that. Don't. And no, it was quite good. It was basically, take it seriously. Don't do, this isn't just about hugging people. That's what I got out of it anyway. But what I kind of felt is that if you have this peace, you, like Jesus, can go, my peace I give to you. And surely that's what this world needs. It needs us filled to the full measure of God, so that we can go, may the peace of the Lord be with you. And when we do that, we think something's going to happen in that situation. I mean, it's not walking around with a sense of you're better than everyone else. It is just carrying Jesus into those troubled circumstances. And I think that's what he wants us to do. I think that's what he expects us to do. I think that's the plan. That people go, how come you're staying so calm? I mean, I was talking to someone, they were like, if the fire alarm goes off, no, that's right, we were talking about the accident book. If there's an accident, don't call me. And I said, why? Are you afraid of blood or something? And they said, no, I'm rubbish in a crisis. I go to pieces, and I'm not the person you want around. And I thought, okay, well, mental note, that's good to know. But we should be those people. We should be that person who is in the middle of it, and we are pulling heaven to earth, and we are flowing out, and we're drawing from those wells that are in us. That are unending, and we're handing out peace after peace after peace to troubled minds. I mean, we have a pandemic, forget the coronavirus, we have a pandemic of anxiety, which is closely followed by a pandemic of dependence on anti-anxiety medication, which is absolute nonsense, because I'm not knocking anyone for taking it. But if you speak to anyone who's taking it, it still doesn't cure it. It still doesn't deal with it. So now now where do you go? Well, where you go is to the source of all peace, to the fountain of all peace, to Jesus, the peace, the Prince of Peace. And for he himself is our peace. I mean, yeah. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And I'm not saying it's easy, but if you can hear from heaven and connect to heaven, you'll get perspective on each situation. And I'm talking about every circumstance. There isn't anything, not just the big things. I'm talking about every circumstance. What's God saying about this? What is he saying about this right now, at this moment? And if you are convinced that in some way he doesn't like you, or you've done something wrong, or you've got to go through a whole rigmarole before you can get that question answered, then you need to go one step further and get a fresh revelation of what the New Testament's all about. I mean, look, I like the Old Testament, don't get me wrong, but it's the Old Testament. And the New Testament clearly says that it is a foreshadowing of everything that Jesus is going to do. It's a very pale version of what he's going to do. So if you're taking your knowledge and understanding of God from the Old Testament, let me recommend the New Testament. The upgrade, the one that says all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. You won't find that in the Old Testament. You'll just find a load of rules and regulations that you think, if you follow, God will be pleased to you. And if you drag that thinking into the New Testament, you will get an absolute mess up of the theology of the New Testament. The New Testament says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The past is gone. We're new creations. And not only is it gone once, it's gone forever. And you just, you live in that. You walk in that. If you haven't got that, I can't give it to you. But you need to get it. You need to go back to God and say, have I been thinking about this wrongly, God? Have I been thinking that in some way you're only pleased with me when I'm doing stuff right? And let him say, smile at you, and just say, it's okay, I still love you. But move on. Because if you're telling others, that's not the good news of the gospel. If you're telling others, you know, I said, someone this week said to me, what's kind of Living Waters Church? What's it all about? I don't know anything about it. I thought, oh, where do I begin? And then I just said to him, you know what? It's about loving God and loving people. And the problem is that if we're disconnected from God, we can't love people, because we need God to love people. And when we connect to God, you know what he says to do? Love people. And I said, people are, God has done everything that we need. And I said, God wants his kids back. He said, he looks at us. He never designed us to be living in this mess, this world. He's looking at us like we're toddlers. He's not angry at us. He's just wanting to help. And you could see this guy who never heard anything really about things, just kind of, you could see him thinking, that sounds really good. And I thought, yeah, you know what? It is good. It's good news. And we need it, because there's plenty of people who are still living in some twisted, yeah, not living in the fullness of the freedom that it is for freedom. Christ has set us free. That Christ has done it. That Jesus has done it. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. So thank you for indulging me. I've enjoyed doing it. Let me pray for you. Let me pray that blessing on you, because just so that you don't feel like you've completely abandoned the Old Testament, I'll throw in a. I'm not going to be able to find it. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you love to give gifts. And this is a gift for us, your peace, for our hearts, for our minds, for our circumstances, for our situations, for every moment of every day. That God, you want to live, you want us to live freely and lightly. You want to lift off the burdens. You're not putting more on us. You're saying you were never designed to carry those things without me, without my strength, without my grace, without my empowerment. Father, I thank you that you're going to fill each one of us afresh today. Thank you that you would just ease troubled minds. Father, that you would still the storms. And even though, like Clara said, it's not an absence. Courage is not the absence of the challenge. It's not the absence of fear even. Courage is continuing even though it's scary, even though it's frightening, because God is supplying you with something supernatural that takes the fear away, that allows you to walk through the circumstances with the fear silenced. No longer, it's no longer got a bite, it's no longer got a sting, it's no longer got any power because of what Jesus is doing. And yet we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, for you are with us. And Lord, you lay a table for us in the presence of our enemies. It's not an absence of enemies. It's that in the midst of it, you're still providing. You're still filling. You're still with us. You're still for us. Father, just strengthen trembling knees today. Strengthen those who are looking into the darkness and worrying. How are they going to know where the next step is? Father, you are the light of the world. You are our all. And thank you that this is a gift that's available to us all. So the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. May the Lord turn his face towards you. Another version says that you can see his smile. He's no longer turning away. There's never a moment that he's turning away. There's nothing you can do to make him turn away. And may he give you his peace today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Daniel, can I share a testimony?
Just wanted to share some things that Daniel said this morning. I've experienced myself quite a few times in my life where I've known fear and panic. Just being real with you, that's happened. But I also, there is a testimony that I've actually really experienced. Perfect love casts out all fear. And I have been in places where it's really has gripped me in the past. But where Jesus has, not through my own effort, he's revealed to me, he's spoken very quietly to me, perfect love casts out all fear. And when I've attached myself to that, like almost holding on to it and saying, okay, perfect love casts out all fear, perfect love. And I can totally 100% say the fear was real, the fear was gripping, but the release that came through that word and him speaking to me, no one else, just me and him, was very real. And I felt it disappear like that. And I've had that happen a number of times in my life. So I know that it's real, that God's love does cast out, his perfect love casts out those fear. And you know, times, I've probably shared it before, but a number of years ago, in the wintry, it was a wintry evening, so it was dark, I walked across a pedestrian crossing and got knocked over by a car, and I actually went into the windscreen, over the car, landed in a ditch, and knocked out, came to, I don't know, probably 20 minutes later or something, got up somehow, and started stumbling across the road. There were ambulances there by then, because there was someone else who also got just slightly hit by the wind, was walking with me by the wing mirror, so they thought he was the only person who'd got hit. They hadn't seen that I got, you know, was in this ditch. At that moment I felt very numb, and I put my hand on my head and came up with a hand of blood coming and it all pouring down my shirt. And at that moment I was gripped with fear, because somehow, I don't know why, but even a TV program I'd watched about these people who'd get involved, get hurt in extreme circumstances, seemed to get up And for a few minutes they seem fine and then they just die. I don't know if you've seen it. And that came back to me. So even a program that I watched was not healthy and helpful to me in that circumstance. And so this came back to me and I thought, that's what's happening. On the top of my head's missing, probably people can see my brains. Somehow I'm managing to walk around and I'm going to die any second. And so fear, it was like just totally consuming. At that moment, the second thing that happened at the moment is I had an out-of-body experience. I thought, oh, this is it, this is happening. This is what happens, you know? But I did have this, and this is for real, I had this out-of-body experience, but I saw the whole thing replay. But this time, what happened is when my head was hurtling towards the windscreen, I saw a big hand go between my head and the windscreen. And I knew at that moment, God saved me. And the fear just left. Just went at that moment. And I got got put in the ambulance, went to the hospital. Kate came along from, she was contacted and came. And the doctor, afterwards, basically I did have a cut in my head. They stapled it up and he said, this is miraculous. Most people hit like this are either dead or a vegetable. And he said, you've got away like this. Well, it's like, my God protecting me, you know? And so, I think I got a hard head. I've hit it a few times, but no, it's God. But I just want to say that even in those times where I felt I was helpless, God stepped in. And I believe that is actually a result of living a connected life. So again, I challenge you to keep those connections, keep connected to God, because he will step in. And just a story.
I've got one more track left for you. So let's just sit and listen to this track, generally just because I like it. I mean, it has got some relevance, but it's a good track. And just, let's reflect and let's hear from him.
Mm-hmm.